Blog Talk Radio.
Is a Wednesday show called Conquering Chaos. I'm your host for today, and my name is Mary. And I am a firm believer that you can't move forward until you remember where you came from. And so my intro is going to be taken from the founder of the Hope Collection and the radio show, Joel Griffin, a brilliant, generous man that I sadly did not get the pleasure to meet. So welcome and good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful day wherever you are. And the wonderful thing that we get to share, optimizing people's lives. It's a beautiful thing. And we are having hope for lunch. You have had many lunches in your life. And I do not know if you have had hope for lunch. It's going to be an exciting afternoon. And I'd like to tell you that Optimize My Life radio show is created and sponsored by the Hope Collection, a 501c3, it's not a non-for-profit, and its program supports 8 areas: faith, family, housing, wellness, energy, and arts and education. The slogan is help others by helping themselves. Help others. So if you look at the situation and you said there's 8 things, that's why there's a broad base of things. You have a slogan to help others. It sounds pretty synergetic. You are right. Our goal is to optimize your life, to optimize everybody's life, to take and help take them forward. Improve the quality of life across the board for them, their families, and their extended families in their communities, in their regions, across the country, and around the globe. The beauty of that it is overly exciting. It is about helping others. And if we can approach life in that respect, it's a terrific thing. The founder of the Hope Collection, Joel Griffin, had the approach and viewpoint that giving is the best gift in life. The cycle of appreciation is approaching life in the viewpoint of there is no catching up when you only want to give. What you do is that you take the hook away. The objective is to help other people, but the beauty is to help them help others. And that is a pay it forward kind of approach. And you are building people to build people and their lives. thing begins to appreciate what this whole show is about. And now we're excited about being able to offer a community for people who come, listen, engage, and so forth. So today, have you ever wondered why you think what you think and do what you do? Understanding how your mind works is crucial to understand how to change it. So today we're going to be talking about how your mind works and ways that you can change how your mind is working to think differently and react differently and do differently. I can't
hear. Hello, can you hear me?
I can, and you can hear me, right?
Yes, loud and clear. Very good. So, the mind, how it works, and how to change it, most likely from negative paradigms and such, correct?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to always be negative. It could be just how you react to things. You know, instead of always snapping or always thinking one way and reacting.
You don't like
that
to snap
way
on people?
I do. It's a stress reliever for me. The people that I snap at don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, honestly, it seems like it's a muscle to me. I mean, yeah, it started off, it's like something would agitate me or get under my skin, so to speak, in the past. But the more you exercise, just taking a step back for a second, that second gets a little bit wider, that muscle gets a little stronger. So you can decide on how you want to respond instead of react. I'm sure you got all kinds of stuff about this.
I do, and the cool part is you think about it, this is a topic of discussion for thousands of years. From people like Shakespeare to philosophers like James Allen. As a man thinks, so he is. As he continues to think, so he remains. I mean, you got like Marcus Aurelius, Roman emperor. A man's life is what he thinks and what his thoughts make of it. You know, you got in the Bible even they talk about, you know, you are what you think. It always talks about, you know, thinking positive.
Lao Tzu. Deep stuff.
No, my favorite is a Mark Twain quote. And it's gotten me through a lot of turmoil in my life. And it's, life consists mainly of the storm of thoughts that is ever flowing through one's head.
Nice. Could you say that one more time? That's a good one.
Life consists mainly of the storms of thoughts that is forever flowing through one's head. Sorry. Which is why I named the show Conquering Chaos. It's all the chaos that goes on in your mind, the storms that you go through, the chaos in the world, how to see through those storms and see you to the other side.
Yeah. That is deep.
No, yeah, all like, these philosophers, all these people have come up with one thing. They have discovered the secret to living happy, purposeful, productive life. Because they've all accomplished things. They saw through that storm. They saw through the troubles that they dealt with every day, the stresses, and they've learned how to take those stresses and deal with them, not bury them, deal with them, and continue life and do something with their lives.
Yeah. There's a good one by Deepak Chopra. I don't necessarily vouch for anybody or whatnot. But he's said some pretty deep stuff too. Like, every time you are tempted to react, in the same old way, then you just got to ask yourself if you want to be a prisoner of the past or pioneer of the future. I like that a lot, too. That one, it's home.
I follow him. I like his talks with psychology. I don't always believe his political opinions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, but other than that, yeah, he's like that right there. Seriously, though, just asking yourself, just like when you catch yourself in that moment, you feel that past welling up, bubbling up, ready to just burst into the world. Stop for a second. I mean, that's not even just for just negative things, though.
Right.
Just looking at behavior, really. I mean, if you get up same way, oh, I feel like crap. Well, why is that? Were you drinking all night? Were you just not? Were you just watching memes all night, like me? Were you? I don't know. What are you doing? I don't do that every night. But yeah.
Oh, you watch shows
definitely.
On serial killers to discover how your brain works. Understanding the psychology of mind, which I do. You know, the other thing they
have any...
Go ahead.
I'm sure you're going to wrap back around to it anyway, just like tips on how to do that. So like,
yeah.
You know, if I didn't know how to notice myself in the moment.
We do, coming up towards the middle of the show. Because to understand how to fix it, you got to understand how it works. And if you don't understand how it works, how are you going to fix it? So it's like you can fix the problem, but if you don't understand what caused the problem, how are you going to fix the problem? So good analogy for a lot of guys out there is, okay, your car won't start. How do you fix that? You know, you sit in trial and error and figure, you know, you can't get your car to start until you figure out why it don't start. You know, is the spark plug bad? Is the starter bad? Is the timing off? Or it could be something as dumb as a clog in your fuel filter. So once you learn all these different little parts and why you do what you do, it makes you more aware subconsciously and consciously to change those things and to move on and deal with those issues that you face in your everyday life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know who's all here tonight or today, this morning.
So far today, it's just you and me.
Okay, cool.
But.
All right.
We have the replay, and we get a lot of people replaying.
Well, that's good. Well, let's get some value out there. So, yeah, so definitely it's a process. You'd agree it's something that takes some time. It's not something that, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of tips, a lot of things that you could just take home and start using. Besides, of course, looking at your own awareness of yourself. What do you think about, like, breathing?
Breathing helps you in the moment, but how does it change the way you view your life?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And what's that, you can't feel absolute stress and absolute calmness at the same time. So like that diaphragm, breathing into your lower gut, that's going to help interrupt that stress for a second, just for a little while, just enough for you to interject and look at it a little bit more logically, not necessarily just logically, but a little less so emotionally charged, because subconscious, it's like it's emotional, and it's not necessarily going to be like, okay, well, maybe they zoom past me in their car because they're trying to get to the hospital because their wife is pregnant or something. You know, that part of the mind isn't thinking about all that, but that could in reality be what's going on. So really breathing, that's something that kind of I've noticed it helped me over time to break the cycle just long enough for me to expand my reaction time. Reaction time, really. It doesn't necessarily just mean your reflex. It means just how much delay you're going to have on hunting that person or running away from that spider or whatever. So it just kind of puts a little more control on the fight flight. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. It can.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So as we're about to transforming our environmental believing, and doing so will create the necessary change that we hope to see. So we buy things for materialistic boost of happiness. We travel to escape our problems. We seek substances to numb the mind and help us forget. We do regulation techniques to help us breathe. We do all these different techniques to help us deal with the moment. But of course, we always fall back from where we started from. We end up back in that unhappy where we are today. And so the recycle repeats itself. We buy, we travel, we forget. We focus on external factors we need to alter in order to create that better life or that better circumstance. So we falsely assume that change begins from the outside. In truth, the environment does play a role in changing your circumstances, but it doesn't address the root of the cause or your thinking. And that is the driver behind why you feel the way you do and what you do, what you do. So in order to understand that, you need to realize if you want to change the outside, you must first change the inside. You must change the attention of your thoughts, because when you think directly influences how you feel. And how you feel directly influences how your body reacts. And how your body reacts directly influences how you behave. And how you behave becomes and defines of who you are and what you experience in life. If you get the right inside, the outside will fall into place.
I love
it
that.
If you get the inside right, the outside will fall into place. And that's a quote from Eckhart Tolle. And this all begins with your thoughts, your life experiences from the thoughts that we actively engage. You are what you think. And to comprehend the essence of this statement, you first need to understand the links between your thoughts, your emotions, and your behavior. What makes you you? Mm-hmm. Thoughts in and themselves have no power. It's only when we actively invest our attention and into them, they begin to seem real. And when we engage those specific thoughts, we begin to feel the emotions that are triggered by these thoughts. So we enter in a new emotional state, which then influences how we act. So it's very crucial for you to be aware of your thoughts and not engaging in all of every thought that comes in your mind. You know, we always talk about the filter or the broken filter. You know, what comes in the mind comes out the mouth. The more you think about certain thoughts in certain ways controls how you act and how what you say, what you do. Are you regularly engaged with the thought that you're a failure and feel need more attention to it, you'll start to feel down. You'll start to feel sad, discouraged, and you even will end up in a depressed mood. Now, how does your body react to that? You don't have confidence. You're kind of slumped down. Mm-hmm. You're tired more. You don't have the motivation to follow through with things. But if you engage in empowering thoughts, they boost your confidence. You stand up straighter. And it triggers more positive emotional states, which then be reflected into your body. You're more energized, you're more upbeat, you're happier.
Yep.
And all thoughts trigger emotions, and vibrational frequencies of these emotions then feed back to the original thought. And we continue to give mental attention to those initial thoughts, reaffirm those emotions. you have that thought that's negative or bad, you start getting sad. Well, then you analyze yourself subconsciously thinking, I'm sad because that must be true because I think that. My body's now sad because of that. So start reaffirming your thoughts by your emotions, and it's all a quick automatic process. But you can stop the process.
Yeah, you agree, though. It's okay to have your feelings. I mean, you just also realize that, hey, it is temporary. Emotions are temporary, and I will handle this when I'm able to handle this. I will promise myself and my body I will make time to handle this feeling right now in a certain way that's healthy, you know, for that particular person, whether it's a walk, if you need some time to cry, you know, if you get out of work or something. Whatever it is.
Sorry.
Yeah. Also, hey, before I forget, you mentioned about the body and how your mind, if you're thinking about the thoughts of being sad or depressed or whatever, and then your body slumps over, of course, and your eyes are looking down. Was it Michelle Cuddy? She did a TEDx on that quite a few years ago, and it was about how if you have your body posture in that way already, if you're looking down at your phone all the time, your head is down, your eyes are down, it's telling your body is telling your mind also that you're depressed. So then your mind checks back, oh, okay, yeah, they're in that position, so they must be depressed. So these are the chemicals we're going to put out then, inhibiting the serotonin and all the good feelings, all the good chemicals, they're held back because of your beliefs, because of your position also. So it's
exactly.
The feedback. It goes back and
remember,
forth.
Growing up
crazy.
As a kid, you were always told to stand up straight. You never
mm-hmm.
understood why. No one ever gave you a reason why.
No.
I was never told that reason why. I didn't learn the actual reason why until I was in the Army.
Why is that? Like, it's not societal. It's not because how you look from the outside, you know, your integrity, your, what is it?
When you stand up straight, it starts out as portraying confidence. But as you do it
mm-hmm.
more often
okay.
and it becomes an automatic process, you actually gain that confidence, that self-esteem, that boost.
Nice.
You know, I always think back to,
oh, yeah.
you know, the old movies, Gone with the Wind, things like that. The old Southern ladies, you know, when the kids
mm-hmm.
were going through their debutante phase, they had to learn to walk straight up with a
mm-hmm.
book on their head.
Books on the head, yeah.
And but they always had, with, you know, I always thought at first it was because of the dresses they wore, you know. But they always portrayed confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the role as a woman back then, and kind of is now still, but, you know, you portray a role of confidence in who you are. You know, you come from a particular family, you have to be confident in yourself. And you fake it till you make it, is what I always believe.
That's pretty much what it is, but then also, like, you're portraying that people are seeing you, and then they're going to respond that way, too. So then their feedback's coming back to you to help promote that in you again. So it's like the whole thing is a big system.
It really is. You know, when I first started doing, moving my business from online to, or from brick and mortar to online, you know, everyone kept telling me to do videos. Well, I didn't know how to do videos. You know, and I always had a hard time talking
mm-hmm.
to a camera. And once I figured out that if I could stand up with the camera and do my video standing up,
mm-hmm.
that's why I love the radio show, because I can stand up. It's a lot easier for me to do it.
Okay.
Because
I never
stand
thought of that.
Straight. I sit punched out.
Oh, okay.
Because of the way my desk sits with my computer.
Yeah. Is it like a little bit too forward or something, and you got to lean in to get up to it?
So I got to, you know, kind of hunch down because it's not up high enough, and, you know.
Now, I'm sure you're nifty. Just use some, cinder blocks or something underneath
I'm working on figuring it out, but I like to move around. I like to talk with my hands, so I like to be able to, you know, same reason I use, like, you
know,
Bluetooth
headset. You're talking with your hands right now.
I always do.
Yep.
It was the hardest thing for me to break
around.
when I was in the Army, because in the Army, you're not allowed to talk with your hands. So I always used to walk around with my hands
straight
on my side pockets, my thumbs looped in there, so that I had hold my hands to my pants sides, because I couldn't, to break that habit.
It's so automatic with a lot of this stuff.
And it really is. You know, it's based on, you know, your genetics, different cultural traits, different ethnic groups, or different parts of the world.
Yeah, culture.
You know, certain Italians are known for the big expressive gestures.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so a lot of that is ingrained in your DNA. And which it makes it harder for you to break the cycle, because it's built into who you are. You know, and how you think and how you feel directly impacts your body and reacts. And all three influence how you behave and how the actions you take towards those things.
Yeah, I'm looking at these. I'm living here in Stevens Point, and a lot of college kids, a lot of the college towns, they're walking head down, face all scrumped up, and it just reminded me of if you keep your face that way, it'll get stuck like that.
Oh, the old garbage pail kids movie. Yeah, you have a face, you get slapped in the back, your face will freeze that way. Me and the kids watched it for Halloween.
Nice. You said Garbage Pail Kids?
Yeah, the original movie from the 80s.
Garbage Patch, they made a movie of it?
It's the Cabbage Patch Kids, but they're bad kids.
Yeah. I remember the cards. They were little cards.
Yeah.
Trading cards.
They made a movie out of it.
No way.
I like my B-movies.
I have to find it.
You got the Garbage Pail Kids. You have, like, the Tech of Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
That's when your mom says, no, you can't watch the movie yet, but you can watch this one.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're just too cheesy. You know, you have, Tech of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah, I like that movie, Critters.
Yes.
I know we're off topic here, but...
hey, you know what?
This is a fun radio station.
Because, you know, when you look at these old movies, you look at how cheesy they are now, they're a little scary back then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's, you know,
things
that distract you from what
reaction.
You are dealing with. You know,
it goes to show that, you know, you can react one way in the past, but then now you look at yourself in the future. I mean, it is, you are able to change how you're going to react to things, whether you do it on your own or just take time.
Right. No, this means that all problems we experience are nothing more than thinking problems. And you're going to, you know, a lot of things you're going to say is, well, you know what, my problem is I can't pay the rent. That's not a thinking problem, it's a problem. But how you solve that problem is a thinking problem. How you react to that problem is a thinking problem. What are you going to do so that you can find the money to pay the rent or deal with this or deal with that? That is all. Are you going to sit and wallow in the corner and cry, or are you going to figure out a solution to the problem?
And it's you know, and also it's the wording too. It's crazy how much our minds take in. And it's impressionable. Even just saying problems, it's like it's a problem. Okay, so what if it was a challenge instead, or what if it was a goal to accomplish, or what if it was a, you know, any of the other ways of putting it. You know, would that change things in someone's mind? I mean, really, it just comes down to testing it out with yourself. See how you're going to react to the word. That's why it's called spelling. It's like a spell.
Right.
So definitely finding what works for you when you're talking to yourself. You see, people talk to themselves a whole lot more than we think we do. You said 800 times a day, average. So the more you can get better at communicating with yourself in your head, you're the only one that's in your head all day long.
And some of us,
better it's going to be.
You don't want to be in their heads. You know, and I always have the joke with my husband.
Too bad.
So it's always, you know, not all the voices, because he listens to a headset at work because he does construction. He's got the noise canceling headphones. So I go, not all the voices you hear are real. So, you know, it's not always the radio you're listening to.
Right. Very true.
So
I mean, like,
problem.
If you just think about your favorite jam or whatnot, if you just think about it right now, it automatically comes up. You start pumping chemicals through yourself already.
Exactly. You know, one of the things, like, I do, I have an action song. So, like, when I need to get pumped up for something or I'm dealing with something, I have a particular song that I listen to. Or if I want to kick my husband's butt at darts. Same song. You know, and that's what gets me uplifted and changes my mindset almost instantly and gets me going and motivated to go do things. You know, like for me, since I've been out of the military, just doing PT, physical regular exercise that doesn't involve chasing my kids, it's hard for me to do. Now that I'm not forced to do it every day, I'm not motivated to do it. So now I don't have that huge group of people with me doing it, I don't do it.
A drive,
I lost the drive. I lost it all. I got motivation, none of it.
Nah, you didn't lose it. I mean, well, you can also, well, maybe you lost it, but you can get it back.
I'm getting it back.
Like, what do you feel like?
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm a seasonal workout person because I live in the middle of nowhere, so there's no gyms to go to. So, like, my outside running is literally during the warm months. You can't pay me to go outside and freeze my butt off to run anymore.
No, no snowshoes?
Oh, hell no.
I'm thinking about getting some of those this year.
I have some, and the kids each have a pair. You know, it's fun for me to watch the kids, you know, when we get the big snowfalls and the kids go out there, and then, because mine are still little, so they go out in that snowbank, they're gone. You see them trying to hop up over the snowbank to, you know, get out.
I usually just whiz my way out. Wisconsin, man.
Minnesota's the same.
Anyway, I'm not gonna say the S word no more. But
are you kidding me? It's 65 degrees right now.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not gonna say the S word. I love
this. All I care about is white for Christmas. No, 2 days before Christmas, melt 2 days after. That's all I care about.
No. Thanksgiving's coming up. How do you think about people's reaction, like, for Thanksgiving coming up? I mean, I honestly think it drives a little anxiety, a little stress for everybody when it's coming up. You know, you're going to get everything together, planning, get the family together. How are they going to react? Who's going to be talking about politics? Who's going to be talking about what sport's better or which team is better?
So starting next week, you brought that up. Next week, our nightly radio show will be focusing on working with your family for the holidays, how to deal with the stress, how to deal with life during the holiday season. And then Mondays and Wednesdays, we will talk during the day, we'll talk about how dealing with the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And keep your mind sane.
Good stuff. So, would that tie into kind of reactions kind of things, or how to regulate that, how to be prepared for that?
It does. You know, the thing is, you know, you got to remember one thing. You are not the circumstance. What we think of the circumstances, we are what we think of those circumstances. You know, so think of it this way. You know, you've got a million parties to go to, a million gifts to wrap. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is that you're perceiving it to be a problem, just like you were talking about earlier.
Oh,
and how you think about it and your disdain for it or your dislike for it and blaming everybody for inviting you to that party is not the problem. It's how you think about it. No, our problems are nothing more than our emotional and body reactions to your thoughts. That's the problem. So we can observe it and change our attention or our perception. We can change our emotional reaction. We can change our body's reaction, ultimately change how we act and experience our own reality. You know.
What? No way.
It is. It's great. Reality is, and I don't remember the exact quote about it, but, you know, your reality is all what you make it up to be. Your thoughts are your reality. You know, it's like when you're in a car, you see a car accident based on your beliefs and who you are. You may see a different color car.
Then they do it. Right. Yeah, they did that. There's an experiment where they asked different people. They show them the same video, but they would ask them, how hard do you think that car bumped into the other car? Or they say, how hard did that other car crash into the other car? And a few other different ways to phrase it. Either way, even though the glass didn't shatter, then people would say that, you know, it was shattered, or they would, you know, the whole story, the way the whole perceptions would change just based off of the words that were used when someone asked them. So I don't know if I'm off topic or not.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope,
that's pretty wild.
Now, the strongest evidence or support is the proposed brain architecture comes from a predictive coding approach in neuroscience, along with studies based on graph theory in network neuroscience. This provides...
Wow.
So according to what studies have come up with, the more specifically and predictive the coding is, the brain is an interference machine, which tries to improve its predictions about the world by reducing discrepancies. So basically what it is you start to think about things based on things you see on TV, things you grew up with, things that your parents taught you, your grandparents, all these different little processes in life teach you how to react to something. And your brain basically takes a shortcut and says, okay, this is how this is going to happen. So I got, it's like crossing the street. You see a car coming, you jump all the way automatically. You don't even think about it. You just automatically jump all the way because you don't want to get hit because you know it's going to hurt.
Right.
It's the same concept.
I hope so. Have you read that book, Psycho-Cybernetics?
I have not.
Into that stuff. That
I have not.
Deep. I haven't finished it yet. I'm still working on it, but I'm in. They're talking about. I mean, the book is about a guy. He was a plastic surgeon, and he noticed how people's self-perception would change after he would do the plastic surgery, but not all the time. Even though sometimes people will get their face job, their boob job, or whatever, they still have the self-confidence problems or whatever was going on underneath all that. So he started studying more, and he started working with people on their self-image more than trying to change it physically, and he found better results. So... yeah, it's self-image is definitely a big part of it.
Right.
What you tell yourself you are, you know, or you know, because there's a guy, he had big ears or whatnot. To himself, he thought he had big ears, but they're normal ears. And, you know, just pretty much helping some people to realize that that's their own belief. Like people who are bulimic, even though they're skinny or something, you know, believe that they're really skinny. They're not. I mean, they believe that they're big, but they're not.
Right. And that's the thing is like, okay, so you see yourself one way and everybody else will see it a different way. Now, which way is reality?
It's up to the one person, I guess.
No.
You know, the person that's making the judgment.
But that's how your mind plays tricks. You know, it's like, you know, eating disorders. A lot of people, you know, they can be down to 100 pounds, but when they look in the mirror and they see themselves, they see that still see themselves as 200 pounds. They still see that original viewpoint of that person. Because you've trained your mind to think that way. You know.
Yeah, that's on the deep end of belief systems. But, yeah, definitely. It's really sad. But it's not like it's a permanent. It's not like it has to stay that way. It's a belief.
Right. Right. You know, the question is why is it so
hard
to make a change happen?
Right.
You know,
why?
The biggest
why
thing is called the self-pity trap.
Mm.
You know, you fall into this.
The why me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is a trap.
We live in this world right now in a victim mentality. You know, why did this happen to me? Why am I so unlucky? Why me? Why? You know, it's always somebody else's fault. And changing that thought process is the first step. You know, a good example of that is a lot of soldiers. You know, losing limbs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't imagine
that.
Goes
through that self-pity phase when at first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of them, when they're done, they want to go back and join. They want to go back to their unit. They want to go back. Because we change our mindset to think, okay, we're great, honored to be alive. Now we need to finish the mission to save our buddies. Or, you know, things happen. It just doesn't always have to have a fault.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big one. Because, when EMDR is done correctly, and I'm not trying to recommend it to anybody, I'm not trying to say anything like that, I'm just saying the core of it is mainly to help somebody look at it as it really is. You know, if someone believes that it was their fault for an assault or something, or if they believe that they were weak and that they didn't do anything about it or anything like that, or that that it was supposed to happen to them and stuff like that, then that really brings self-worth down, unfortunately. So pretty much helping them to understand that, no, it's not your fault. No, you know, this isn't right. No, this wasn't something that is okay. This isn't something to, you know, a lot of people, they'll bargain with themselves. And, you know, I bargained with myself for a long time, too. I've tried to make excuses for other people. I've tried to, you know, just try to reason and rhyme with things like that. And it really comes down to just self-forgiveness and then knowing that it's in the past and that you survived it.
Right. But the first step to change that, to make those other steps forward, and the easiest step to do is separate your self-pity. And all the definition of self-pity is in a self-absorbed, excessive unhappiness over someone, your own trouble, and turn into reality. Look at the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
Sadness is a natural emotion. This happened. Yes. Now, what do we do? We take the next steps. What do we do to fix and remedy the situation?
The reality of it, yep. That happened. That's the thing. It's in the past. It's not going anywhere either. It's going to
Right. Well, Well, until you get over the self-pity part of it and you look at the reality of the situation, nothing's going to change. You know, whenever you find yourself complaining about things not being fair in your life or thinking that other people have it much better than me and the world is stacked against you, you're playing the victim role.
Mm.
You know, the problem with self-pity is that it seeds in your mind and can escalate fairly quickly and dominate everything, and it'll turn into a self-fulfilling
virus.
Yeah, it'll turn into a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, yeah, this sucks. Everything's going to start sucking because you're looking for everything to suck.
Yes.
You live.
I mean, we all get stuck sometimes, but yeah.
Right. You're not looking. You're not going to see all the good things that happen in the process. You're only going to see all the bad that happens.
True. That happens way too often, isn't it? Isn't it something about we see like 66%, or we remember 66% of like negativity over positivity or something? There's like some kind of percentage where our mind
is
automatically, because our brain is like, it's made to protect us or look out for danger or threats or things like that. So, I mean, of course, you can change that.
Right. You know,
if you're not in the autopilot.
Correct. You know, the thing is that self-pity drains so much of your energy and doesn't help change the situation for the better. It actually makes everything worse.
Mm.
It's the most destructive of non-pharmaceutical narcotics. It is addictive. It gives you that moment of pleasure and separates the victim from reality. No, it is the most dangerous path that we can live on is this victim mentality, and it's the trend right now.
I know. What's up with this? I'm dead inside. Why is that a thing?
Because we live in a world right now, it's all victim mentality. It's better to have something wrong with you than not to have anything wrong with you.
How does that make someone fit in with
because you have a label.
Wrong with that.
Because psychologically, it's a group. You know, it's a social media following.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, it's better for you to fit in and be accepted psychologically than it is for you to not be accepted and be the outsider looking in. You know, I always think back of the 80s when it was the cool thing in life was to be outside the box, be you. It's good to be you.
Right.
You know, not have that label. You know, if you were...
I'm just a weirdo out here.
Exactly.
For
you
being
know what
alive.
I mean.
What the hell?
Right. You know, you didn't have, you know, it didn't matter if you were gay, you were straight, if you were black, you were white. It's just you were you. You know, if you were a punk or an emu or I don't know half that crap anymore. Because I don't really, I don't care.
I live under a rock, so.
But
yeah.
I just don't focus on labels. I my goal is
people
to eliminate
are people.
Labels.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the next step to stop and shift your attention from the self-pity phase is look for a silver lining.
Yeah, latch on to that.
You know, you reframe your brain from the victim mode to the hero mode.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, like a couple days ago, I was in the victim mode. Well, I didn't perceive it as victim mode at the time. I just felt really, really weary. And all the efforts, looking at all the efforts and stuff, all the things that flopped, and I wasn't looking at all the things that were successful, even if they weren't as successful as I wanted them to be. It was just kind of, I was overlooking all that, and I could see, I mean, I changed it quickly, but I could see for a moment there, I wasn't in the mindset of looking for how to make the success happen. I was looking at why this isn't a success, which is important sometimes too, to see why something isn't working, but only in regards to how to change that, how to make it work, or if you need to find a different way to do it or do something different.
But that's what you do when you make it a reality. When you look at it as not a problem, but as a reality, it gives you the perspective to see it from all angles so that you can see what needs the steps to change it. You know, and like our household, you know, when we're going through a lot of stuff here, and so my husband gets overwhelmed when things don't go right or, you know, and he...
Okay, it's human.
Yeah. No, he always looks at me because I don't let all them things bother me. But I flip to my
it's tough cookie.
Well, I go to faith because I know in that God provides and God will help me see the path I need to take to resolve this issue. My problem is that a lot of ideas pop in my head at like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
I understand that. Definitely.
Right?
It's like, bam, come on, I need to sleep brain.
Can
so,
we just wait
next thing
you
know,
another hour? You're
right.
Up figuring out, writing out the plan and figuring out what needs to be done, and it's like, oh, God. And you're finished in time for everybody else to get up.
Yeah. Got to fit it in.
Right. You know, the power to change.
Yeah, deadlines.
That's right. I got lots of them. The power of changing your circumstances lies in your perspective. And you can see yourself as that victim of a terrible circumstance, or you can see yourself in the very moment as a new sediment in your life, a new pathway, a new step. What can I learn from, like you were talking about, what can I learn from this? You know, what's the silver lining? What's the next step? You know,
what possibilities are there?
Right.
You know, what? Where can I find resources? Who do I know? Who might I get to know? Where would I find this person?
Exactly.
Yeah. You
know, setting out that path. You know, and the most important thing is to remember that no storm lasts forever. You are not
and
the
you
most
are the storm.
Unluckiest person in the world that everything bad is going to happen to you all the time.
I stubbed my toe earlier. That had to be the end of my day. I mean, like, come on.
No. Bob Marley has a really good quote.
Yes.
And he came up with it when he was forced into the military. Because they gave him the option, either jail time or military. He chose the military. And that was, you never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have.
Yeah.
You know, it also goes into
That's
the Bible cool. and that God only gives you what you can handle. What you endure in life, you can handle it. You just have to understand that. And change the way you think.
Billions
and get
of years in the making.
It. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, being grateful for the life's gifts and looking at life with an abundance. When you do this regularly, it becomes your new viewpoint in life, looking at the positives. And I'm not saying that drink the Kool-Aid and always be over positive and over being real at the same time, understanding bad things happen, but how you deal with those bad things is what makes
That's
you
what matters
who you are.
Most.
You know,
Put
and
that
understanding
in the core.
It is okay to be sad, to be mad. Feelings are very important. If you don't express those feelings, and you keep burying them, it will cause more chaos in your mind than anything else. Because you're not projecting who you really are. And you're not under... You're being fake.
Yeah. And that comes back around to what's that saying, it's not stress that kills somebody. It's a reaction to it.
Correct.
And it's... That's true. It's just like, I mean, yeah, we all get stressed. Everybody gets stressed out. There's so much stuff going on in this world. All I can do is pray, but or I pray and take action when I can, where I can, whatever way I can. But it's like,
that's also why it's so important to teach our children. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. No, that's why a lot of autistic kids, when they grow up, don't understand emotions because they've been taught for so long to bury those emotions.
Men, too.
When they get overwhelmed.
I think we were talking about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, men, too.
Yeah.
You know, you're taught to bury all the emotions down, and you're taught to not just bury everything down. And now it's okay to have overload. It's okay to get mad. It's okay to yell when you need to. But how you do it needs to be productive.
And temporary.
Correct. And making sure that when you do it in a safe environment. You know, the coolest thing I've seen so far is they have those stress rooms. So you can pay money to go into a like warehouses or a little Connex boxes, something.
Really?
And they have a whole bunch of crap in there. And you can go in and you can choose your weapon of choice.
Oh, smash stuff.
And smash everything up.
Yeah, I've seen. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, those are cool. And that's such a smart idea. Like, how hard is it to find junk and put it in a warehouse? Give people some goggles, give people some protection stuff, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've only seen, like, a short clip or something or a picture. But, yeah, I mean, give them a bat or whatever. Have them maybe sign something that says, hey, use it at your own discretion, and let them have at it. Throw some stuff, smash some stuff. But you know what? A lot of people don't handle stress that way, though. A lot of people don't get relieved that way. Some people need, like, art. I mean, maybe they do that, too.
You know, it's however it's best for you to relieve your stress, to deal with your emotions, to handle it. You know, for me, it's blowing up stuff on a video game. It's whatever works for you. You know, or we go paintballing.
What do you jam on? Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
No. Call of Duty. You got the new one?
Not yet. I don't have the new PlayStation yet. I only have the Nintendo. I have the Switch. So.
Oh, I'm not judging. I got a Namco thing. That's what I got.
Oh, no.
I've been playing some Galaga. Can't see me in no Galaga or no Pac-Man.
I have the original Atari in my basement that I need to set up when I find a TV that'll work on.
Thanks.
The original joystick Atari.
Oh,
but,
shit.
You know,
hold on. I'm walking my dog right now. She's getting
it's all about
stuff.
How you deal with stuff, how you handle it, making it a reality, making it who you are, and understanding that you are not the problem. The problem's not you. The problem is just a reality that you have to take the next step to deal with. That's all it is.
Mm. Beautiful.
And we
can't believe it's already 11:59.
Shows go by fast.
Yeah.
We are out of time for today.
Always good fun.
Always good. I'm glad you're joining me today. I'll see you next week. Tomorrow's show is Bob Oakley, and he's talking about how faith helped him and his family and how he can help ways to help you with your family in dealing with different issues that come along and how to support each other. Friday is Len Kane, the Golden Rule Society, and the Hope Collection. And the Kindness Club and Kindness Campaign. Have a good day. And just remember, it's a wonderful day, no matter where you are, just as long as you want to help somebody else out. See you tomorrow.
Yeah. Love and blessings. Take care. Thank you.
You too. Bye.